womb, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Saint Anselm of Canterbury, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, we ought to think about two things. I have two little morals of the story that are somewhat disparate, a little bit separated from each other, but still good thoughts. And the first of these is that we should make good use of our youth. When we are young and growing up, we ought to make good use of it and put every opportunity Almighty God sends us. We spoke of some of them yesterday, didn't we? And use it all, especially our time of prayer. But the second thought is this: if we don't, not to worry, because God in his goodness may still have mercy upon us, and as long as we are alive, it is never too late to win God's favor and to make good use of today, because we only have one day that God has given to us. Now, today would be a very good day to honor our Blessed Lady, because today is the feast day of one of the great champions of her Immaculate Conception, St. Anselm, the Bishop and Doctor of the Church, Archbishop of Canterbury. Today would be a good day to honor Our Lady by praying for the conversion of England. What a sad day for England today, because today is the 500th anniversary of the accession to the throne of Henry VIII, who began as a very good Catholic prince, in every respect devoted to the Pope and to the Catholic Church and to Catholic learning, and full of good zeal for the Church. And he would have proven himself to be a worthy king, except he got proud and he fell into sins of impurity, and one thing led to another, and he ended up drawing the Church in England away from the Catholic Church and founding his own religion called the Church of England. But this was probably permitted by God as a punishment to England, because she had had so many unworthy kings who had persecuted the Church for so long, just as France had to be punished because she had had so many unworthy kings who had been against the Church, and she was punished by the Revolution, and England was punished by the whole of the Church being almost swept away and reduced to nothing when Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church and started his own religion a little bit less than 500 years ago now. There's a saint who came yesterday. He's another one of these interesting English missionary saints. And I told you that story about Blessed James Bell yesterday, and I thought I would mention, just before I tell you a word about St. Anselm, about Blessed Robert Watkinson. He's interesting because, and he has this a little bit in common with St. Anselm, the both of them, you don't always imitate a saint for everything he does, because saints have faults too, children. The both of them didn't always make good use of their youth. When he was told, when he went to the seminary, to write down a little bit about his past history, and they kept a record of that. And he described his childhood in a village in England in these terms. He said, Hemingbrough was where he was born. He said, "Here I spent 10 years or thereabouts, partly in the first rudiments of education, partly in doing nothing." Well, he's an unusually honest young man, because usually we don't want to admit that. And later on, he went to Europe, and there he was ordained a priest in Douai in France. And he came back, and in a way it was very sweet and very sad. He only had, I think, 2 months, no, less than, well, 2-3 weeks, actually, as a priest. He was ordained in March of 1 year, and then he came right over to start. He was all full of zeal to be a good missionary priest and to say the Mass for the poor persecuted Catholics. And he had gotten sick when he was a seminarian. He had some health problems, and they bothered him almost every day. And one day, when he was just going about his business as a priest, a stranger, a mysterious stranger, came up to him, and he said, "Jesus bless you, sir. You seem to be sick and troubled with many infirmities, but be of good cheer, for within 4 days you shall be cured of all." He didn't know what this could possibly mean. But what happened was, that he was arrested right after that. And 4 days later, he was killed as a martyr, and he went straight to heaven. When you go to heaven, of course, you don't take any tummy problems with you. Whatever it was he had, he was cured of everything and became a glorious saint in England, one of the many, many saints of that sectored island. Now, today's main saint is a saint who, as I say, like the blessed I've just told you about, Blessed Robert Watkinson. He wasted a lot of his life. This is what happened. He was born at Aosta, which is just on the other side of the Alps between France and Italy. And his father was a nobleman and a very stern, sort of a strict man, and he had his own ideas about things. His father sometimes will. And St. Anselm was educated by the church, and he wanted to be a monk because he had such a good influence on him. But his father said, "Harumph," and under no circumstances will I allow any son of mine to be a monk or a priest. No, you're going to be a nobleman. And many fathers of saints were like that. St. Alphonsus's daddy was like that, and so was the papa of St. Francis de Sales. Well, because of that, he got worldly. And instead of thinking, well, I'll try to please God and please my father and obey the commandments and all the rest, he just gave up on being a Catholic for a while. And he led a very worldly and a very sinful life. He ended up coming at the blows with his father anyway, and he had to run away from home, and he ran away from home. He had a very hard time crossing the Alps all by himself. He had lots of adventures. But eventually he saw that leading a sinful, cold life and being away from Mass and the sacraments was no good for anybody, not good for his soul. And he went back to the Benedictine monks who had educated him, and he made a good confession, and he started being devout again. And pretty soon he felt that call from God, and he became a monk. And he became such a holy, zealous monk that within 3 years, he was elected the superior of the monastery. Now, there was another monk in the same class who was extremely jealous of him. And he thought to himself, just because he's a nobleman and he's friends with the abbot, that's why they've elected him the superior, but it isn't right. He just knew, and I've been in the monastery longer. And he was very jealous of him. And he criticized him and was his enemy. And what did St. Anselm do? He befriended him. He was kind. He always smiled at him. He did any favor that he possibly could for him, and he was very humble, and he never answered back in an angry way. Well, because of that, he won him over. And later on, when that monk came to die, who took care of him in his last sickness? Sure enough, it was St. Anselm. St. Anselm was very happy as a monk, and studying and praying. And he was so devoted to what's called philosophy, children, that he's called the father of scholastic philosophy. And he wrote quite a bit, very beautifully, about the proof for the existence of God. And he would have been happy just contemplating God and doing his monkly duties and chanting the divine office. Except the monastery had to send him on business to England sometimes, from France to England, you go back and forth. And the English king, who was the third son of William the Conqueror, whose name was William Rufus or William the Red, got to know him, and he thought to himself, he's such a well-known and highly thought of man, I'll make him to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. And so he did. And as Archbishop of Canterbury, our saint had to stand up for the rights of the church against the king. William Rufus tried to tell him what to do and tried to push himself as though he were the pope instead of the pope in Rome. And our saint would have nothing of that. And eventually they disagreed so violently that our saint had to flee for his life, and more than once in France, and live in exile. And here he just wanted to have a quiet, peaceful life and to think about God and write beautiful things and promote Our Lady's honor and take care of his flock. But he couldn't, because he was being persecuted by that wretched old king. And unfortunately, that same spirit of the kings down throughout the centuries in England led finally to the day of Henry VIII cutting the whole of that island off from the Catholic Church. Because sometimes in history, that's what happens, children, that the sins of the fathers are really truly visited upon the sons in God's justice. Well, today, as I say, let us pray for the conversion of England. And today, as I say, let us realize, I've got one day to serve God. I don't know about tomorrow, and yesterday's in the past. Today instead of doing nothing, as our blessed admitted that he spent some days doing, let's do something, shall we? Let's use our talents. Let's go to Mass well today, right now. And then after lunch and recreation, let's go back to our studies and do as good a job as we possibly can. Because today, we must honor our Lord. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.